welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Fortnight at the Museum, Race to the End, by Wendy Z.
Here for weeks. I can't eat another painting of food.
Philippa complained, her stomach audibly growling. Can it? Leona cut in. You're not the only one here that's famished. We have to complete the mission.
There wasn't an easier way? The museum is open during the day. We have to hide in those giant vases.
Philippa retorted. It's not our fault this museum doesn't have security cameras. Leona resumed. We're almost done. They crossed the main hall and pushed the giant portrait of King Louis XVII to the side to access the secret door.
Who goes there?
The doorkeeper, a giant floating ghost head, exclaimed. Agents 4 and 7, Leona replied. The grand door opened to reveal the pile of ancient scrolls and manuscripts. The two agents strolled forward and sat at the desk. Leona took out the next scroll, and Philippa opened the laptop. Okay, this one is called Down East Maine Pumpkin Bread. Leona started.
Ingredients?
Philippa asked, typing away. 1 can of pumpkin puree, 4 eggs, 1 cup vegetable oil, 2/3 cup water, 3 cups white sugar, 3.5 cups AP flour, 2 teaspoons baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1 teaspoon nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon cloves, 1/4 teaspoon ginger.
Got it.
Philippa responded. Leona started chanting the sacred words, and the painting began rumbling with an unholy movement. The pumpkin bread began coming out of the painting in an altered form, with 6 legs and fangs at the front of the loaf, dripping melted butter, a fall flavor, and blood. Now, Leona shouted.
Today we celebrate our Thanksgiving!
Philippa screamed. She made a rapid series of gestures with her hands, and then her jaw unhinged until it was as tall enough to swallow the 6-foot pumpkin bread whole. The bread thrashed about behind Philippa's clenched teeth, but Leona's chanting resumed, and Philippa's mouth shrank to its normal size. She swallowed and burped.
I hope this doesn't give me heartburn,
Philippa said, patting her stomach. Take an antacid if you need one. We still have much to do. Leona said as she packed up her things. The agent's job was just starting. That was Fortnight at the Museum, Race to the End by Wendy Z. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story we just heard. This week we have Luke Nattinger, a successful potter as well as a great tractor impersonator. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Luke, do you want to tell us a little bit about your potting that you do?
Yeah, so I'm a potter and pottery instructor here in Lexington.
Wow.
I actually work like right next door, so this is pretty groovy to walk on over.
That's cool. That's cool. But you don't, I didn't know if they actually told you this at the pottery school. You're not allowed to work with metal there, obviously.
No, never.
Because of the high-powered magnets that are in our studio.
Yeah.
There's probably some bleed through, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, it overlaps just through the front room.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a pity. Sorry about any developing cancers you might have.
Well, so it goes.
You also have an Instagram where people can see some of the work that you've done?
I do. That's where I'm primarily promoting myself.
@LukeNattinger?
You got it.
All right. How do you spell Nattinger?
G-N-A-D-I-N-G-E-R.
How do you spell Luke? L-U-K-E.
That's it.
How do you spell alligator?
A-L-G-A-T-O-R.
I'm
not very good at that one.
Oh, I'm not asking for a correct spelling. I just want to know how you spell alligator. Because, like, I spell it A-L-I-G, the letter 8.
And N-T-E-R.
Then, yeah.
That's a good one. That's
but
solid.
I capitalized T-O and R because of the publisher, you know?
Yeah.
What about your tractor impersonation? Let's hear that.
Well, okay. I just need a few moments.
What kind of tractor is this, if I can ask first?
Obviously John Deere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The great brand.
The only one ever. So, okay. Yeah, I just need a few seconds.
Is this a zero turn or is it a...
It's most of the ones that I impersonate are zero turn, but occasionally I do just a normal steering mechanism.
All right, well, whenever you're ready.
Okay, yep.
And now, is this a tractor that, like, you would use, like, with, like, lots of crops or to, like, pick up corn maybe? Or is it, like, more of a lawnmower?
It's mostly grass. Yeah.
Oh, so just a cutting...
Right, right. It's, you know, it's a little bit harder to impersonate the vegetable ones.
Mm.
So I mostly stick to grass. That's what the crowd's like. But
all right. Well, whenever you're ready, excited to hear
all
it.
Right.
On
I
the
apologize.
Edge of my seat.
Yeah, great. Mm. All right.
Yeah, that was all right. I'm not sure I liked it that much. No,
I'll do better next time.
Okay. Thanks. I'll ask you again. You can. Just start thinking about it now.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe choose a different machine. I'm just, maybe something.
I'll do a decent weed whacker.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. That's stupid.
No, it's okay. It's all right. It's just, I should tell you, I've judged a lot of national tractor impersonating competitions.
Have you? Oh, yeah. I'm honored.
Don't be. I didn't extend an honor to you, but I have extended lots of honors, trophies, certificates. To people who are very qualified to be in these competitions. They make lots of good noises. It's pretty great.
The participants, not the trophies.
No, that's the great thing is that all of the trophies that we give out actually have the participant's sound effect recorded into it.
Oh,
so, like,
wow.
You push a little button on the trophy, and then it's like it makes a sound. I can't do it. I'm not a competitor. I'm just
right.
a judge.
Right.
More of
Why
a,
would you be?
An academic, I guess. Not really a... Oh, well, not a hands-on, but more of a mouth-on, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. So what about this story? Fortnite at the Museum, Race to the End by Wendy Z. What do you think about that?
It was an epic rendering.
It
Thank
was,
you.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So great that you would bring this forward for us.
Well, I mean, I have to extend the thanks to Wendy Z. And I also really like, I assume her name. I haven't met any men named Wendy. They might be out there.
I believe there was a Wendy and Peter Pan.
That was a man?
Mm. You're right.
Yeah,
it was a woman.
Yeah.
Man, this is awkward.
No, it's all right. You know, I mean, Peter Pan did seem like maybe he was into boys.
Or at the very least was just an androgynous figure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true. Most of the Peter Pans on Broadway have been played by women.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Vindicated.
The Wendy's, however, have not been played by men.
I thought you'd bring that up.
This witch is not true.
So back to the story.
Yeah. I really thought that there was, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, like you might not share this opinion, but I thought there was a pretty heavy anime influence here.
I definitely picked up on that.
Like it seemed like I thought that the hand motions that were being made maybe were like some kind of shinobi sort of Naruto thing going
Definitely
on.
Definitely some Orochimaru kind of dastardly influence, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And then the chanting, part of me wondered if maybe these two characters, Philippa and Leona, were maybe like I envisioned them like maybe like pulling down on the right eyelid and, like, sticking out their tongue at, like, different food coming out of paintings or something. Or maybe, like, wearing, like, sexy nun costumes that are not practical for fighting, but
Those
somehow
are
also...
a crowd favorite.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe, like, hiding large swords that are also, like, embodied by dogs or something.
Ooh, yes.
I'm just throwing out guesses here.
My favorite part was the museum.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like museums?
It just really spoke to me.
Huh. Well, what things did it say?
In the story.
No, when it spoke
when
to
it
you.
When it spoke to you.
Yeah. Mm, well, when it spoke to you.
It mostly just made a tractor noise.
Really?
Like.
Yeah.
It which doesn't which sound... is where I get it, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It's not very good at tractor noises either, I don't
it's,
think.
Man. Must be the city.
Maybe it's the. It might be the booth.
Yeah. Hey, Dustin.
Honestly. Dustin? Do you know. Are there any things in this booth that might be affecting tractor noises?
Affecting them?
Yeah, like making them bad. Like, well, so, Luke.
Other than the presence of Luke, no.
Mm. See, that's what I was thinking off the top of my head, but Luke actually wrote down that he was actually a really good tractor impersonator, but we've listened to it twice, and it's not good.
So the thing is, he was a world champion back in 2010 and 2011.
Those are the 2 years I didn't judge.
Oh.
Oh, all right. So I actually started judging in 2012. I wasn't...
Well, all right. I feel a bit cornered here.
Well, so it's not the studio's fault. It's just you're just dated.
Well, then we can move on.
All right.
You sound like a 1970s tractor instead of a 2015 tractor. It's not a big deal. Seriously, it's okay. Admit it. It's okay.
Okay. Okay. I admit it.
I mean, it's been admitted. We've admitted it for examination. You'll get the results back in a couple of weeks. So,
great.
Look for those in the mail. While we're waiting for that, though, what if we play a game?
Lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Oh, I was just wondering if you thought, like, the idea of it was lovely. But actually, we are actually going to play a game.
Oh, well, even better.
And by we are actually going to play a game, I mean you and not me are going to play a game.
My favorite kind. No, okay. The ones without you.
Mm. All right. That was a really low blow. Dustin, get off of there. All right, so we're going to play this game. I'm going to ask you to write a sequel to Fortnite at the Museum Race to the End by Wen Deasy. I don't know if that was meant to be a pun. Like, you know how it's like EZE? I think that's the reference, is this person's name was Wendy, but she's also a fan of EZE.
I think it would just continue to be offensive if we talked about it.
Okay. So you're going to have 5 minutes to write a sequel to the story, and then you're going to read it for us.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and take our 5 minutes now.
That beautiful mirage revealed itself mirage. The blue hung thick as cordial gel, cherries bleed and chocolate bells.
We're back. It was like a foghorn.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, ships. There's another ship here in the fog. That's what I'm saying. Now it's like with...
Oh, yeah. I can almost see the ships.
Really?
Like in my...
Even with all the fog?
Mind's eye. Yeah. Huh. Cuts right through it with that...
With the
foghorn.
Yeah. I don't know why they'd be saying that they're back, though. Like, where did they go? They're just on the water.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry I gave
Bermuda
you so
Triangle,
much.
Triangle, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sorry I gave you so much trouble about the noise judging. I mean, you're actually not bad.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not bad. I'm not suggesting that.
Well, I mean.
I just had a certain expectation built up.
That's all right. There's always room for improvement.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of improvement, I am interested to see if you've improved upon Wendy's story.
Well.
So you have a sequel?
I do have a sequel, an epilogue even.
Oh. Oh, okay. So are you ready? You want to read it now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So whenever you're ready, just go ahead and read your sequel.
And it should be noted that this particular epilogue was written with the intention of being set to the song Gollywog's Cakewalk by Claude Debussy. So, Dustin, if you could line that up for me. I'll wait a few seconds. Okay, thank you. Great. Agent's Epilogue, Episode 2. It was the year 3045, and Chancellor Donald Rump had already set fire to the agent's trail. Philippa and Leona had been on the run ever since the Manchester pumpkin bread incident, and had grown weary. After applying for asylum on the far moon Titan, the two thought they were safe. Disco Sunset, said Philippa. Huh? Asked Leona. The name of the location, the place our job ends. So it is, replied Leona. The two trudged through the lime tree bog and arrived to the methane shores of St. Augustarun. With the Donald Rump fleets fast approaching behind, Philippa did an even more elaborate pattern of hand symbols and expanded to the size of the whole planet. Wow, Leona said. And with that, being the size of a celestial body, Philippa picked Leona up, kicked the attacking fleets back to Earth, and walked happily away to the Andromeda galaxy in the great disco sunset. The end.
So, Luke, that was great. That was really great.
Well, thank you.
I just want to let you know that the music that you requested, I'm not going to be able to use it. So I've actually just replaced it with what our listeners just heard.
Ouch, man. All right, yeah. That's a little... Okay.
I don't think that's what you were going for.
Really undermining my creative authority, but all right.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. But we try to be strictly Creative Commons here. I mean, we're all about the sharing community, the sharing economy.
Yeah.
Also not about the future or space. So those were two things that were maybe a little uncomfortable.
Admittedly, they were highly present in the epilogue.
That's true.
Episode 2.
Yep, that's... Yeah, that's what... It was full of it, even.
Mm.
It's almost like there was a whole space of space, you know?
I was really trying to bring that across. I'm glad you picked up on that.
It seemed like you took what was anime-y, or anime-easy, if you will, from Wendy's story, and made it into some sci-fi crap that no one wanted to hear. But I'm glad we got to hear it.
Well,
if only to...
Yeah, I think I've heard enough. I just...
No, hey, Luke, you can't... No, Luke. Wait. Well, listeners, Luke has stepped out. I don't know if he's coming back or not. I'm just kind of sitting here in the... Oh, he's in there with Dustin now. Whew. Dustin, is everything okay in there? Dustin, are you sure everything's okay? I mean, he has that machete that he brought in with him. It looks like he's coming back out. Oh, you're back, Luke.
Yeah. Oh, hi. I just wanted to step out for a minute.
Huh. Just for a little machete sharpening.
Yeah, well.
Can't let that thing go, am I right?
It's the one piece of metal we're allowed to have next door.
Well, you're allowed to have as much as you want, really, in that side of the booth. It's just in here. No, obviously.
Oh, fair enough.
So,
I have a lot to learn.
Well, as they say, a dull machete, a dull mind. So, got to keep things sharp and happening.
Absolutely.
So I was a little critical of your story. Space just kind of makes me uneasy a little bit.
Well, it is the great frontier. I think it makes us all uneasy.
Yeah, yeah. I did think that you really stuck with a lot of the spirit of the original. I liked the increasing number of hand gestures.
Yeah. I wanted to just communicate that some serious time had passed.
Yeah?
Maybe hundreds of years.
Light years, presumably, too, but that's distance of measurement.
Right.
Wait, a measurement of distance.
Correct.
And when you're talking about space, it's like things just flip around. It's like, what's up, what's down? Gravity, am I
Who's
right?
to say?
Yeah. Maybe aliens or something. Or astronauts.
Stephen Hawking.
Has he been to space?
You know what? That fraud has not been to space.
Yeah. See, that's what I've been thinking this whole time. It's like he talks about black holes. It's like, what black hole are you looking at, man?
I've never put two and two together. But that piece of
lamp.
Yeah, he really can. I'm done with him. We had lunch plans, actually.
Oh, wow. It's unfortunately coincidental.
Because you had launch plans with them. He's always doing this. He's double booking on every... Oh, God. Steven, if you're listening, stop. We don't want your kind here. Astrophysicists, nothing against people who are disabled.
Right. Astrophysicists of the kind.
They are not welcome. Mm. So.
Glad we can put our foot down together about that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was interested how Leona didn't do her chanting in this. I wonder if maybe in like this passage of time, maybe she like lost the ability to do the chanting.
Yeah.
Maybe there was like a melding of abilities, like Leona transferred her power over to Philippa.
Oh, wow. Like a loss of ego in some way. Yeah.
Well, she was able to do more gestures now.
Melded together.
Yeah.
Possibly so. At the very least, there was some adversity in between those 145 years that they had really worked together.
I think it would be interesting if you got in touch with Wendeezy and kind of like bridged that gap, like started writing her forwards in time, you backwards in time.
Wow, you're blowing my mind now.
Well, I'm not that kind of, I'm just a modest semi-modest, pretty boastful podcast host who's got some ideas about some stuff. So,
well, I think you should run with it.
All right. I guess, yeah. Thanks. Speaking of rolling with it, running with it, how about we roll this big old wheel over here?
All right.
So,
looking at that all day.
It's pretty big. We got this big wheel. It's the wheel of games. I'm going to ask you to spin it.
Okay.
And it's going to land on a game, and whatever it lands on, we're going to play that game.
Sounds great.
So just whenever you're ready, lever, knob, button, hamster, or lottery ball option. The hole in the roof has been repaired.
Okay, great.
So you're welcome to walk over there if you want. There's also just a little like panel right there on the side of your chair.
I'll just stick with the chair panel.
Yeah, it's got several numbers on it that are correlated to the...
Well, I have eyes, obviously. It's right there in front of me.
But I just wanted to let you know because even though that says one right there and then right next to it, it says the name Grand Interpretations. And on the wheel, it says Grand Interpretations number one. They are not related. If you push number one, it will not necessarily land on that.
Okay.
In fact, it almost assuredly won't. In fact, I think number one is actually an eject button. Don't push number one.
All right. So we're just going to avoid number one.
Oh, so it's spinning. This takes a couple of seconds. I'm sorry about that.
Sure.
I was thinking about ordering a faster wheel, but they say that it has to be smaller, and I really like this size. It's like it's a good big size.
You certainly should not compromise it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so it's slowing down.
Yeah, it's landed now on a new game that we haven't played before. We played a version of it in our last episode, but I made it a full-fledged game now. It's called Connect the Dots, and it's not what you're thinking. You're thinking it's just like one of those things with numbers, and you connect them.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not that. In this one, what we're going to do is we're going to make, like, mind dots, and we're going to just, like, quickly, like, rapid-fire, answer some questions that are connected to the story that we just heard.
Okay.
So, like, based on the story, I've come up with a series of five questions. And I'm going to ask you these questions, and you're just going to rapid-fire answer them as fast as possible. So are you ready?
I think I can handle that.
While you're rapid-fire just spitting out answers without thinking about them, I want you to think about five questions that you can ask me, also based on the story.
So that part's a bit more challenging, but I will do my best.
Yeah, well, it's a game. It's not supposed to be fun.
Okay.
So this is our first time playing Connect the Dots. I said it like that because I was thinking about adding a special sound in or like theme music, but I'm not going to. All right, so let's go.
Okay.
Question number one, Leona or Philippa?
Philippa.
Yes, I know, right?
Obviously.
So, yeah, that's
we shouldn't get
a draw
into that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
Would you hide in a jar if you were in a museum during the daytime or the nighttime?
During the daytime.
That was the wrong answer.
Oh, shucks. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I would have thought that I got that one because I'm Potter, but no. All right.
It's a jar, not a pot.
Well, you know, we make both.
Question number three. Who is your favorite artist?
You.
Oh, thanks. Question number four. Who's your least favorite artist?
Dustin Jones.
No, yes. He's also not an artist. At best, he is like a mindless troglodyte. Question number five. How should the story have really ended?
I would have liked to have seen like a little bit more romance, personally.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Romance.
No, if I was asked the question, how would you have liked to have seen the story ended?
I would have said yes. That it should have ended.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Okay.
All right. Have you thought of the questions for me?
And these questions are supposed to relate directly to the story?
Just like all of mine did.
Just like all of yours did. Okay. Question number one. How would you have responded to the spiral staircase spirit?
I would have said I'm agent number one because I'm always on top. Shut up, Dustin. You're not a part of this game.
Question number two. Which museum were they at?
The Metropolitan Museum of Dogs. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Question number three. What wing of the museum were they in?
Right.
Oh, God.
Lamp.
That was good.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right.
I just figured, like, if I had gotten it wrong and you'd been, like, wrong, I would be like, nope, I said right.
Safe guess.
Yeah, thanks.
Question number four. What galaxy were they leaving from at the end of the epilogue, episode two?
They were going towards the Andromeda Galaxy.
Correct.
I remember that. I'm going to say Milky Way.
You got it right.
Oh, yes.
Someone was paying attention.
Thank you. I do have an audio of this that I can play back for myself constantly.
Fair enough. It's almost cheating, but we'll let it slide.
It's not, but yeah, thank you.
And question five, Philip Orleona.
Oh, Philippa. Philippa. Okay. Yeah. It's the jaw thing. It's just I like people that can make their jaw unhinged to 6 feet tall.
For no particular reason.
With hand gestures, it's just like, how do you... It's like, those are the people that I want my friends to be.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a lot of fun.
I thought so, too. Thanks.
I'm glad... Well, thank you. I'm glad that you're the... I mean, you're the one that spun the wheel and got the new game.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Luke.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I want to say, since you're right next door, I mean, any time, you know, just want to stop by, say hey, see what's going on. We probably won't be here. We only record one night a week, so.
Well, a production of your size, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I should also say the intern, right, the intern from your old shop next door.
Right.
We ate him.
That's where he went.
Yeah. I mean, it was just...
Well, I mean, was he good?
Yeah.
I mean, like, tasting.
I mean, he was a walking cob of corn.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know about... We have the Parmesan brushes on the sidewalk.
For human-sized corn.
Yeah. He walked through those. I guess he was out on a coffee run or something. I don't know what you all have him do. I mean, it's an intern, so... Just whatever. But, yeah, he got covered in Parmesan, and it was hot out, so... So I think we'd just like to end this episode on that somber note by just sharing in the memory of our great friend,
yeah,
Carlton Cobb.
I agree.
All right. Carlton, you were...
You were one buttery fellow.
And...
I know my Carlton that we ate just a little bit ago.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a...
Dude, he's so good.
Carlton, you were... You're really good. You were also good at what you did. And to Carlton's family, thank you.
For your corn child.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to our special guest, Luke Nattinger. Special thanks to Wendy Z for use of her story in this week's show. The Best Worst Story cast this week includes Alex Chesser. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces the show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.